Right. Can everybody see this up here, or do we want this on the stage? Do you guys want this on the stage? Can everybody see this? We all good? We awake this morning? I tell you, going to second service, some of us were excited for it. I mean, I was partially excited for it, but waking up earlier is not in my not my blood. But I tell you, I love being here with you guys. I've loved it for the past year. It's almost been one full year since I've been here. Actually, September 1st, in a couple days, it'll have been exactly 365 days since I have been here at Rockville Christian Church. It has been a blast, and man, it has it been a weird year. But I am glad to have spent it with you to go through these challenges that 2020 brings and to continue bringing you messages and hopefully showing you God's love. So to start, we've got these jars, and actually I'll pull this small one up so you can see it too. We had some people guess as to how many there were in each jar. Does anybody want to give a guess how many there are in the big jar? 900. Anybody else want to guess? 2,200. We've got quite a range here. Well, let me tell you. By the way, each of the winners of the drawings here, I've got your names and stuff. In fact, I'll just go ahead and say, if you submitted one for this service, you won one of the prizes. So come see me afterwards. We'll get you one. One of these jar things back here filled with gumballs. They look exactly like this. So, all right, here we go. This big jar has 939 gumballs. So you were really close. I know 900. That was really close. 1,000 was pretty close too. In this second jar, there are 678. And the third largest jar, the one that's red, that is 365 gumballs. In the second to smallest jar, the blue one, there are 208. And in the white jar, there are 52. How many of you got really close, just from your numbers? Got pretty close in there? Cooper, I did see yours. You were a little off, but that's okay. We all have our strengths. All right, so these jars, each one of these gumballs represents something. It represents a week that a parent has with their child. And each of these jars represents from a different starting point in life. The large jar starts off with birth. So from a time that a child is born to the time that they graduate from high school and go off to college or the next phase of their life, a parent has 939 weeks with their child. You may be thinking, wait a minute, 52 times 18 doesn't equal 939. That's an odd number. You're right. We also counted the days and leap years and then divided that by 7 instead of just multiplying the years out. We tried to be as accurate as possible. And by the way, thank you, Luann, if you're listening or here. You helped count these out, and all these were counted by hand, so yes, there are the number that we say there are in there. Check me on that, I dare you. We'll spend hours counting them. There are 678 weeks that a parent has from the time their child enters kindergarten to the time that they move on to the next phase of their life in college or work or whatever it may be. There are 365 weeks a parent has until they leave from middle school, from sixth grade. There are 208 weeks that a student has in their high school career, and those count summer breaks as well. And there are 52 weeks in just 1 year. I want to say that, yes, this message is directed at parents. I did have this in mind for parents, but this plays into everybody's life as well, because everybody has a set amount of time that they have with somebody, right? It could be a neighbor that may be moving. It could be a friend that you've known. It could be a peer in high school or in middle school that you know is going to be graduating, or that you know you're only going to have until you graduate with them. It could be a family friend, or it could be a coworker. Everybody has a limited time with the people that they are around. That being said, for parents, I know that this image may draw up some feelings for you. It may draw up some feelings and maybe some sadness, maybe some regret, knowing that you've already spent so many weeks and you know you might have spent them better. It might drop some feelings of pride, knowing your kid, your student, has spent all these weeks growing, and you've seen them grow, and that is a great thing. It may have brought up some anxiety in knowing that you only have a certain amount of weeks left. And that might grow when your child enters junior or senior year. It could also bring up some anxiety, even if they are really young, because I mean, going into parenthood, if I were to go into parenthood now, I would have no idea what I'm doing. And knowing from my parents, my aunts and uncles, everybody's kind of just winging it until we get there, until we feel comfortable. But we know that we should be parenting well, right? We should be parenting in the way that God would have us parent. And so in that, I think what we need to do is to focus on what our purpose is, not just as people, but as a family, what are your purposes as parents. And I think, as with all things, we look to scriptures for that. As Christians, we look to scriptures to find what our purpose is. But what I want to say, as parents and as people, make your gumballs count. Make those weeks count. So if you have your Bibles with you, or if you have the Bible app, go ahead and open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and this will be verses 4 through 9 and 20 through 25. Those are the verses that you might want to highlight this week. It's up on the screen if you don't have your Bible or a Bible app downloaded with you. This passage, while you're turning there, is called the Shema, and it comes from the first word of this passage, hear. And that's what it means in Hebrew, is hear, as in to listen. And this is an important passage. It is central to Jewish faith. If they had to pick one passage out of the Bible, I believe that this passage would be it. This is the one that they would hang on to and look to. Let's go ahead and read that together. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 and 20 through 25. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Moving to verse 20. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Now, there's a few things in this passage that I really think that we can pull from. The first is that who God is central to our faith. Because when God says this, when the people hear this and know this, they have lived a life where in Egypt they had known polytheism as a common way of life, the worship of multiple gods. And God comes into this people who had just been unsettled from this land, who might not know what they're doing, as is demonstrated by the fact that he tells them this, and then they immediately go and create a golden calf. He comes in and he tells them and gives them a little bit of assurance of who he is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the first big shift from polytheism to monotheism that you'll see as a cultural people in the Bible. The second thing I want to note is that we are to give 100% of who we are in response to that. We know this is the greatest command. Jesus even pulls from this very verse here and says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And that verse encompasses all of what it means to be a person. If we were to rephrase that today, it would be like saying, love the Lord your God with all of your decisions, with all of your emotion and devotion, and with all of your capability. Do it to the best of your ability. And the last thing that I want to note from this passage is the one that we're going to camp out on here. And it's about passing on your faith heritage. Now, in this verse, there's a word here that I want for you to think about, and it's impress. Impress. Impress them on your children. Now, when you think of the word impress, what comes to mind? For me, it's stamping a W in a wax seal, because we've been doing that over and over and over again, working on wedding invitations. But for them, it probably brought up these thoughts of pressing something into clay as a form of writing. And when you press something into clay, that clay has to be soft, it has to be malleable, it has to be workable, and you also have to have some object to press something into, to press it into the clay, right? Whether that's a seal or whether that is a cylinder that they might use to make copies of things that would have the words written on them, and they would roll it over the clay to make this text. You have to have something to impress into the clay as well. Now, I think this is a great analogy for students, and not just an analogy because, I mean, he's talking about passing them on to the kids, but I think this imagery of clay works well because students by nature, kids by nature, have what scientists would call a higher neuroplasticity. And that's just a fancy way of saying that kids learn more easily and quicker than adults. And I think we all know this to be true. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of these children who are 4 or 5 years old that grew up in multicultural homes that know English, French, Spanish, German, and all these languages by the time they're 5. If I were to try and learn German, it would probably take me years to learn what these kids learned in just a year or so, if that. Students and children learn more easily than adults. They're easily impressionable. And parents, you have the highest, single highest influence over anybody else in their life. Higher than me, higher than Greg, higher than their teachers, higher than their coaches. You have the single biggest influence, positively or negatively, on your kids than anybody else. You have great power, and as we know from Stan Lee, with great power comes great responsibility. And I know what some of you parents might be thinking here. It's like, okay, I know I've got this responsibility. I know I ought to be spending some of this time with my children a little bit more, or maybe a little bit more intentionally, but if you knew how busy I am, I've got work, I've got to take these kids to practice, I've got to make dinner for the family and make sure everybody's fed, I've got to make sure the house is clean and chores around the house, that water heater is broken, that needs to be fixed 2 days ago, and if you knew these kids' schedules, man, there would be a whole lot less gumballs in these jars than what's represented here. And besides, don't we have the church to help us out with that? And absolutely you do. We are here for you. Greg and I and all the rest of us on staff, these people that you are sitting next to, we are all here for you. We are all here for each other. But I want to make it known here that sometimes, especially in our culture, we can think that being busy is always a good thing. It's always busy to be productive and to be good. And while I might say, yes, it's good to be productive, I want to kind of change how we look at that. But sometimes being too busy can be just as bad as being lazy. Sometimes being too busy can be just as bad as being lazy. And I think that's because both indicate that there has been a lost sense of purpose, that things aren't being intentionally driven the way that they should be. So I'm just going to operate for a second out of the assumption that you have very little time to add into your schedule. And so we're going to look at how to redeem the lost time that you already have. And this passage is great for it. Right? This passage will help us figure out how we can better live our lives that take that those small empty spaces and use them for better. And so look at verse 7 here. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. Now, I need some audience participation here, so if you zoned out, tune back in, help me out here. When do you sit at home? When do you sit at home? What do you think? When you set the table, sit at the table? Yes? When else do you sit at home? I hear some whispering. Somebody's got an idea. Before you go to bed? After school, when you sit down maybe to do some homework or something? What about watching TV? Does anybody watch sports on the TV? Anybody have a show that they like to watch on Netflix? More than likely, you're not watching those standing up. I mean, you could be, but I watch those shows sitting down. So I know that we sit down from time to time. How can you redeem that time and use it intentionally for what God would have you use it for? And one of the things that I thought was very intentional that my parents did is that every time we sat down to have a meal, and we would do that three or four times out of the week together for dinner, this is right before we ate, we said a prayer. And that would be either myself, it might be one of my brothers, we might have played the nose-goes games to see who had to pray that day, it might have been mom or dad who was leading us by example and praying. But we always prayed before we ate when we sat down for a family meal. We did something similar with Christmas. We read the birth narrative. And we did the same thing with Easter. We read about the crucifixion. We didn't do that every year, but there were certain years in there where we did that. And it was something special. It meant something to us kids, to the parents. And when we sat down, we watched The Passion of the Christ. When I did that with my parents, that was an impactful moment as well. When you sit at home, redeem that time. Use it intentionally. Moving forward, and when it says, when you walk along the road. Now, I know we've got some morning walkers here. Anna does some stuff in the morning with some of her female friends, and I'm sure that they have a lot of good conversations there. But what I want you really to think about and focus on when it says walking along the road is not just walking, but really travel. When do you travel? Now, this could be when you're bringing your kids home from school or from practice. It could be you're traveling to a vacation, to Myrtle Beach. It could be on the plane. And I know in all those times here in the text represents is that they didn't have all these forms of communication, though it would be funny to think about, you know, what it would be like for them to have a camel Uber or something like that. But when you travel, how can you redeem that time? It could be when you're taking your kids home from school, it could be saying, hey, how was your day? How have you seen God work today? And starting up a conversation. And that might also require you to think about that too. How have I seen God work today in my work or during my day? Or it could be doing a study together while you are in those long car rides or long plane rides to wherever it is you're going. For me, when I was alone in the car, listening to podcasts kept me from going crazy on an 8-hour, 9-hour drive. Those helped a lot. And I got a lot out of it, too. It wasn't just wasted time. It was time that I was able to use intentionally. Or it could be flipping the radio to a Christian station. That way you can have a little bit of worship time with your family when you're going places. Moving forward. When you lie down, and when you get up, and we're doing two in one here, right? We could do one and one on this, but what I really want to hit here is that when you lie down and when you get up, there's a rhythm there. It's every day the sun rises, day after day after day. And every night the sun falls, night after night after night. Those are good times, good opportunities for parents, for you to be able to start your children's day off talking about the Lord. Say, hey, how do you want to see God work today? How would you have him work in your life or in other people's lives today as they're getting up and getting going in the morning. Or maybe it's starting off the day off with a prayer or something like that. But find a rhythm here. And maybe the mornings or nights don't work for you. Maybe you take some of that third or fourth shift and you aren't able to spend that time with your kid. Or maybe you just need that extra sleep because you have long nights. Find a time during the day that does work for you. And carve it out and make it intentional where you can every day say, hey, this is time where I'm going to spend with God, with my family. And one thing I want to note here, I'll get to that in a second. Moving on a little bit, it says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. But in verse 20, it says, in the future, when your son asks you. Now, I'll pause there for a second. In the future, when your son asks you. I want to make the note that it doesn't say in the future if your son asks you. It says when. There's no question about whether or not your children will come to ask you questions. And I know some of you may have been at that stage where your kids, all they did was ask questions. It's like, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Well, it's because of the pigments in them. Why do they have pigments? Well, it's because God made them that way. Well, why did God make them that way? Well, it's because he wanted to. Well, why did God want to? And then it just goes on and on and on, and you can't wait until they stop asking so many questions, right? But when they get older, they may ask fewer questions, but they become a little bit more difficult questions, especially when it comes to faith. So in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning and stipulations, decrees, and laws of the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him. God is saying, be prepared with an answer. And he gives an answer for these Israelites to use when their kids ask him that question. They talk about the history. They talk about Egypt and Pharaoh. They talk about how God redeemed the Israelites from that situation. They're not the only ones that have answers to give, right? I mean, I know this is Old Testament, but in the New Testament, we have 1 Peter 3:15 that says, revere Christ as Lord always, and always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have in you. And that says, give an answer to everyone. How much more important is that to do that for your kids, to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have in you? But I want to say, be prepared to have an answer for many or any or all of those hard questions that they ask you. Because they might ask you some pretty hard questions. Whether or not homosexuality is okay or not is a huge cultural thing for these generations. And that's a hard question for parents to answer. For some of you, it might be easy. You might be going to look at the text, but then some of these kids might come back and say, well, this group over here, this church over here, they say it's okay, so what do we do with that? There are hard questions out there. So what will your answer be when they say, Mom, why are we Christians? Or Dad, why do we do our homework and why can't we cheat off of somebody else if that's easier? Some may be easier than others, I'll admit. Some questions may be easier than others, but there may be other questions that you can't answer. But if it's not important enough to you to go find these answers out and study with them, it probably won't be important to them. And that's a good rule of thumb to live by. If it's not important to you, it probably won't be important to them. The last point I want to make here is that everything, and absolutely everything, is spiritually forming. For either positive or negative. Everything is spiritually forming. From playing games with your kids to having conversations about the deep and mysterious aspects of God that we can only hope to understand, everything is spiritually forming. And that includes watching movies. And you might think, well, how is watching a movie spiritually forming if it's not a Christian movie? Well, let's take a movie for example here. Think of the movie Onward. How many of you have seen the movie Onward? Some of you have, some of you haven't. For those of you who haven't, it is a Disney movie that by and large has these themes of family relationships, especially when it comes to brothers. It has a lot of themes when it comes to bravery and courage and honesty. And all these things are great things that you'll find right here in the Bible as well. And for some people, that might be easier to understand immediately than it is here. That might be a good starting point for conversation. But all in all, they're teaching the same things in there that we are in here. So when we find good in the world, when we find good in everyday life and in cultural, we can use that intentionally for God's will for us. Now, there are bad things out there too. And it may be too easy to not try and find where the bad is or just not think about it. But sometimes we need to think about what's going on, what we're listening to, what we're hearing. And I'm of the opinion that we can listen to movies or watch movies that may be overall good. I'm going to say, okay, if it's generally good, my personal opinion is go for it, watch it. There might be some bad things in there, but be intentional in the filter that you have. Be able to recognize and say, okay, that's not a good thing to live by, right? Otherwise, we would have to take ourselves out of this world entirely. And you know, we're told to be in the world, but not of the world. You can also find this in sports as well. And I can't tell you how many students are learning great work ethic, at least through their sports, right? To work harder, to run faster, to be better than they were the day before. That's good work ethic. And you find that in sports. But all this starts with parents. And parents, it might not be easy. Parents, you might have grown up in a family that didn't value Christian values, that didn't teach you all the things that you needed to know. And that's fine. You can still overcome that. There will be a learning curve there, I'm sure. But you can still be the parents that God would have you be. And grandparents, if you have time to spend with your kids, if they live nearby, if your grandkids live nearby, you've been given bigger jars and more gumballs. Don't take them for granted. Because in reality, these gumballs in the jars represent the time that we hope to have. It isn't guaranteed. It's limited, and we don't know where that limit is. Some of you may need to make today count, and it could be through baptism. It could be by making a decision to change a habit of yours. Whatever it is, I encourage you to make today count. Make today count. So as we get ready to worship and as we get ready to continue to love God and to make one of these spiritually forming moments, let's go before God in prayer. Father, we love you. Ultimately, you are the Father that we look to, that we look to when it comes to parenting, that we look to for hope and assurance and guidance, and we love you. We ask that you soften the hearts of the people around us today, that you pour into their lives and that they receive this message as you would have them. We thank you for the time that we get to spend with you. We ask that you help us direct that. It's in your name we pray. Amen.